Well, whatever.
No fuego.
Most of the time they don't act like it.
Welcome to the Feudal Podcast.
What are you trying to say?
We're going
to
talk about Master Series.
Master Series.
Total Recall tonight.
Total Recall.
For those of you guys that have been contacting us on the forums and the like, saying, hey, how do we get a hold of you guys? The best way to get a hold of us is that through the email. We have a Gmail account. It's futilepodcast@gmail.com. So feel free.
Text messaging.
I don't have text messaging set up yet.
Oh, no.
But, or you could go to the blog at http://futiletitle.blogspot.com. And please feel free to visit those and comment. It lets us know that you guys appreciate what we do.
Thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks a lot.
I love you guys. I do it all for you.
It's all for you, baby.
So he is going to the bathroom right now, so this is the prime time to talk about him. We didn't really get to talk about him the other night, remember that? We were going to. We were going to talk about me, and we never did it. And the one I've been waiting to do for the longest time, because I really feel like it's the greatest movie. The Master Series stuff, for anyone who doesn't know what this is about movies that are that can in some way, shape, or form be considered really not a very good movie, right?
But, yeah, so
and I think this almost doesn't fall into it because it really is.
Yeah, we get way too meandering and like precious about that term. I think Master Series should be a movie that we have great.
Anyway, so we Anyway, we have this thing where we do the Master Series, and mm-hmm. Total Recall is the one that I think most fits into this because every time I mention that I love Total Recall, people are like, ah, really?
Total Recall. It can feel that way. You do have to see it a few times. I think at the time when it came out. It everyone was like, yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger, a big violent movie, and like, whoa, this is really violent. It's a bit much. It's really kind of disturbing and disgusting, which is Verhoeven style. And then it's got this whole brain fuck, like everyone will complain, like, I don't understand what the hell was going on. Up was down, and down was... I mean, it's very
cerebral
movie.
It's way more confusing than most...
But it's not that... It's linearly...
It can be, though.
It's explained, like, you know, all the points that need to happen in it. Makes sense.
But if you miss anyone saying something like, oh, well, I didn't tell Richter that. Because from the very beginning, you think, oh, well, this is cool because this guy's going to find out, you know, he wakes up and you're like, oh, he was a secret agent the whole time. But then you'd have to watch it again to realize that right before that happens, they're explaining everything that happens in the movie.
Yeah.
When they're talking to him in the recall thing. So you really can look at...
No, it's worth it. It's worth the second viewing and all that. But you can understand what happened in it. I mean, I don't know if I did because I was like 10 when I saw it.
Mm.
At the theater, which was awesome. The three tits in the theater, in big screen.
Oh, yeah. They were huge.
They were huge. I think I've enjoyed it more in recent viewings. And just sort of as I've been able to kind of go back and appreciate, like, that they don't make movies like that anymore. I mean, or if they do, they're pale comparison Sci-Fi Channel original movies where it's like, why don't... And I know, I guess the thing is that, like, the Sci-Fi Channel original thing is, like, a label that's after the fact. It's, like, that's a distribution avenue for people that are making low-budget, crappy movies, by and large.
Right.
With crappy science, you know, so it's, like, you can't say and look, like, why doesn't Sci-Fi Channel just make, like, 10 original movies every year that are, like, better rather than, like, one every week? It's, like, they're not making them. They're just calling them them from... You know, people that are making
some
there was
terrible
an Australian guy.
A lot of times they do. It's like a Jackie Chan.
Did you see you guys were talking about this? The Blood Monkey was that what it was called?
Yeah, with Conrad.
Did you watch it?
I don't think so.
With Academy Award winning actor
F. Murray Abraham.
Seth and I. Yeah.
And I noticed that a lot of I don't know how many they've shown, but there's been a few that they've had that have the dude who played Sala in it. What's his name?
Oh yeah, John Rhys-Davies was in one of my favorite Sci-Fi Channel original movie, Sabretooth, which I think I watched all the way through at least 2.5 times.
Uh-huh. What's the dude's name that was the bad guy in Firestorm?
Firestorm?
Oh, with Howie Long?
Yeah.
Oh,
William Forsythe.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
I saw one that had him in it that was... It was just fucking awful.
Yeah, and he's the bad guy in half the Steven Seagal movies.
Yeah.
He's the anti-Indian jacket. That's his role in life.
His role is to hate Indians in movies.
Hell yeah. He's like, fuck those tassels.
You red skin, tomahawk holding, hard drinking son of a bitch. Steven Seagal punches him out.
Is it 1990? Is it 1989?
What?
Total Recall.
90.
Okay, yeah. So we're at this edge.
It's at the edge of the 80 action.
The 80, and I think it really,
which I personally consider going to 82. I think Terminator 2 was the end of it.
You mean 92?
Sorry.
I think most decades in terms of trends.
And it starts in 79 with Rambo, the first Rambo, I think.
Yeah, and like you know, you can say the same thing for the sci-fi blockbusters in 77 and stuff.
Right.
But by and large, by the time they become like you're within the full on trend. I think it's sort of a 2-year lag within the actual decade proper.
Verhoeven, since we're talking about the
Total Recall, the movie finally, 80s action,
is that he was the.
This is after RoboCop, right?
It is. RoboCop was also 87, I believe, 87 or 88, something like that.
So what had Verhoeven done anything before RoboCop?
Well, he did. He did that movie called Heaven and Earth, I think, which was Rutger Hauer. And it was the last big Dutch film he did that was this with Jennifer Jason Leigh. You see that? It was in 85 or 83 or something. It's this movie about like the Black Plague and stuff and set in like the medieval times.
Well,
and it's this brutally violent, like really weird movie where like everyone's raping everybody. Like, and like Rutger Hauer is this like bad guy, but he's the protagonist. You follow him, mm-hmm. but he's very evil. And like the real good guy is like someone who kind of like hunts him down throughout the film to try to catch.
But he's not interesting because he's just doing well.
No, it is interesting. The whole thing is interesting. It's a very flawed film, I think the first big American thing he did was RoboCop.
Whoa.
Unless I'm greatly mistaken.
Robotussin.
Yeah, Robotussin. And then
RoboCop remake.
Then he did, you know, I mean, and he never like, I mean, he had some gigantic, I mean, he's had some of the biggest, what we consider action or like sensationalist films ever made in America. In, especially through the 90s and 2000s, which was he did RoboCop, he did Total Recall, he did Basic Instinct, he did Showgirls, he did Starship Troopers, and then he
was that the order? Off. Did he do Showgirls?
Showgirls might have been after Starship Troopers, but it might have been right around like the same time, like within the same year.
And Showgirls was Esther House, who also did Basic Instinct.
Esther House, who did Basic Instinct and Sliver and crap like that, and he was Burn Hollywood Burn, and
he
fell off the map too. He was getting paid way too much for the shit he was writing, basically. Mm-hmm.
And Verhoeven kind of veered because something like Showgirls doesn't have any real violence in it. It's sort of a
It's also the most sensationalist piece of trash like ever made. And now
it's got mocky value.
Well, now it is. Now it's celebrating its camp value, which was unintentional at the time, but is completely intentional now in hindsight to all the filmmakers besides Verhoeven, who's he's like, I don't even remember making it. You know, basically, like, is his sort of answer to it. But Esther House is like, oh, I always meant it to do this campy thing. Yeah. No, he didn't. He was trying to make this awesome thing like he thought Basic Instinct was, basically.
You're trying to make a story to talk about the exploitation of Jesse Spano?
Yeah, seriously, dude.
So
they should have had A.C. Slater in it.
They should have.
They should have had the whole cast.
Zach Morris, all of them, dude. Yeah.
And Zach could have gone
Mr. Belding could have been in there.
Uh-huh. So Total Recall has this, has the good fortune of, RoboCop is almost looked at like a cult thing now, because immediately after its success, it started to be one of those things where people were like, you know what, this is pretty stupid. Like, really. And now it's reached the point where it's almost cultish, because there's really no one of note in it. And Peter Weller was never... The only thing that made Peter Weller big at all was RoboCop.
And you don't even see his face in it.
Yeah, yeah, but come on.
And Naked Lunch.
Yeah, but I mean, but seriously, nobody watched those things, is the thing.
And that series he did on History Channel about the Roman Empire.
Yeah, but nobody's watched these things. This isn't some big thing. He wasn't some big super guy. We're talking about the difference between that and Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall. At the time Total Recall came out...
Shakedown with Sam Elliott.
At the time Total Recall came out, Arnold Schwarzenegger was the absolute biggest star in the history of film.
Yeah, this like was, this thing matters.
He was bigger than Humphrey Bogart ever was at this time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that sort of thing. So the thing about Total Recall that's so great is that it's brutally, ridiculously violent, and they don't put that in action movies anymore. Even like when Matrix came out, which was the last big super rated R action movie of
also about like what is real.
They made a lot of money and stuff like that. Like when they shot people to death in that awesome slow motion scene in the thing where they thought like, oh, this inspired Columbine type massacres because they're wearing trench coats and they shoot a bunch of cops, you know? Like when they shoot them, there's no blood. But in Total Recall, any person who gets shot at any time,
awesome.
From the slightest little human shield guy on the escalator to anyone else in the thing, has a huge, like, 8-inch divot, like, blown out of his chest, and about 14 gallons of blood spurt across everything. And that's for a single shot. But each person doesn't get shot once. They get shot 7 or 8 times with one thing.
Or the rat. I mean, even when Richter shoots the
Richter
rat.
Richter shoots a rat that's near the video screen, and the rat turns into about a gallon of blood. It just splatters in the screen.
But he shoots it like not 14 even that rat
would have...
Yeah, seriously.
A rat couldn't contain that much blood. It didn't even account for its organs.
A rat has like an ounce of blood in it, you know? Yeah, so that's the awesome thing, is that like... One of the things about those 80s action movies that we used to talk about was that the absolute sheer spectacle of it is what first draws people to it. And then what's behind it is cool or it's not cool. And so...
Yeah, it's either Moon 88 or it's like a good movie.
Exactly. So you can put gratuitous violence in anything. It isn't necessarily going to make it great, but it's really going to help you a great deal towards like this sort of ironic liking of something like that. But Total Recall doesn't... I think it surpasses the ironic liking of something because... It really is this complicated plot that you can look at either way and think that it means one thing or it means another thing. That's smart, and it's got constant callbacks to the thing that happened earlier, and it's got constant...
it's a well-structured narrative.
Tons of foreshadowing that ends up playing into the plot, and not just for something that happens because this is a way to kill somebody and stuff like that. And plus, it's got the lines where you kill someone and you say some sort of fuck you line about
it. Yeah, it's great.
So it's got all that stuff. And Schwarzenegger and Sharon Stone in the one movie she was hot in.
And Schwarzenegger doesn't like have to try to carry anything. But it's enough action that
he's
by
just
and
there
large,
killing people.
He's confused and befuddled. Yeah. And by and large, that works with him. It's like,
but he does the thing that we talked about, what we were talking about at the end, which is in an action movie these days, you got someone where like, the good guy is hanging on next to the bad guy for dear life or something, and he'll try to save the guy, but then the guy's like, fuck you, and he'll let go, and the bad guy will die that way. Schwarzenegger, at the end, Ronnie Cox is hanging on to the thing, and Schwarzenegger, and he's like, no, you'll kill us both, and Schwarzenegger picks up his hands and throws him away, so he'll die. The main bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, with malice, he kills him, you know? Like, that's what's missing from these things, is that these guys are like, you've been trying to kill me this whole movie? Well, guess what? You know, and now it's like, I'm such a good guy. I'm going to try to save you.
I think that has the difference.
You can change.
Your R-rated 80s action movie could have some of that to a degree, but it depended on the type of character. I mean, you did have your PG thing. You did have your Temple of Doom. You know, the guy's getting pulled into the rock crusher, and Indy tries to help him. Because that's a pretty
that's a PG
thing.
If it was a rated R thing and he was really playing the character that they had him play in the whole thing, he probably would have let the guy die.
Well, he kind of just, at a certain point, like, just grabbed the rope and let it happen, you know, didn't care. I'm trying to think of
Raiders of the Lost Ark is that, like, when he's waiting for that guy to get chopped on the propeller, he doesn't, like, go, hey, look out. He just goes like this and covers himself so he doesn't get blood on him, you know? Like, you know, and he shoots the dude with the sword, like, and I think they kind of, like, melted that character away eventually because after a while you're trying to make bigger and bigger box office receipts, and the way to do that is to tell the audience that
he's likable.
You know, this guy is you or me, and he'll try to save anyone, but he kind of has to do what he has to do. He's a human. And Verhoeven was the ultimate, I say was, though he's still doing it, but just not in the Hollywood scene, like just action director, because he mixed the big stars with the completely generic, like, screenwriting, which wasn't him, but he chose to, you know, to do. And you always tell the screenwriters as a director, you always tell them, hey, fix this and do this and this and this. So you're still in charge. With just the over the top violence, which they won't let you do anymore. And anytime he wants gratuitous terrible nudity
speaking of which,
he puts everything like,
well, Starship Troopers didn't have any big stars in it.
No, that didn't, because they wouldn't give him any. Nobody would sign on to that. They're like, what.
It was still, like, it still works,
this?
Though,
and
you
he's
know?
Like,
even what's his name?
Michael Ironside.
Casper Van Dien.
Yeah,
totally. He's like, the worst actor ever,
terrible,
but it was still, like, the movie was
He's
good.
In those Omega Code movies.
Yeah, dude. I love those.
Plus, so like, I mean, it has the whole subtext about, you know... Well,
that's
not,
really
it's
a great
overt,
satire.
Yeah, about
Total,
like,
Recall
satire.
Is not a satire. RoboCop is...
Total Recall has a little bit of that. I mean, because it's still, like, the corporate guy that's trying to control
there, but that's,
and he's,
but that's
like,
in
a military-industrial
most, that's in, like,
complex. It's
Running
the most
Man
dystopia.
Stuff, which is a satire of TV, you know, like Running Man is. It's not really, though. I mean, Starship Troopers is overtly a satire because it's...
They have those, like, propaganda,
totally.
The commercials.
It's completely making
and
fun
you're,
of that.
No, the biggest thing is that you can't become a citizen unless you serve.
Right,
unless you can't vote. You don't have a...
Yeah, yeah.
Your voice doesn't matter unless you've, you know, said, yeah, I'm willing for it to matter.
And it's got Neil Patrick Harris in it, which...
Mm-hmm. Doogie suits up and goes to town.
My favorite thing is that it's got Kurgan in it. And he's,
Kurgan,
and
yeah.
He's,
Kurgan is awesome.
And at the end, they're like... I forget what his name was, but yeah, he's the badass in the movie because he kicks himself down to private so he can go fight.
Uh-huh.
And then he's the one who, like, catches the bug. And they're like... Everyone's like, hey, he caught the bug! Right. They look at him weird, and he's like, great, because he's, like, a captain now, and like, gives him a high five or whatever.
Yeah.
They should have, like, cut on their hands as the high five to happen.
They should have, just like in, just like in Cat Tango and Cat.
Yeah. What was Casper Van Dien's name? Like, Johnny?
It was Johnny... Johnny Rico.
Johnny Rico.
Yeah. But his name is Juan Rico. That's the thing. Like, it's Juan Johnny Rico. So I guess they are supposed to be...
Sort of, yeah.
He's supposed to be Spanish.
Yeah, but he's like a totally white...
He's like the whitest
he's like an Irish
is.
Guy. Actually, what is Van Dien? I don't know. He's German.
Neil Patrick Harris is more Spanish than he is.
Redheaded gay Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick? Yeah, dude.
Neil Patrice Harris.
Patricide.
It is Patricide.
When did that come out? Like
97.
Jesus Christ, that's so old.
So, back to the whole, like they won't let you do it anymore with action movies. I mean, there's a whole PG-13 thing. It seemed like that's...
Everything's PG-13.
It seemed like that started to dwindle a little, because you've got, like, right now we've got, like, what's that movie coming out? Wanted's coming out in a couple weeks, and that's R.
It goes in absolute...
So what's going to happen with that? What do you guys think? How's that going
like,
to amount to be
R? It's going to be a terrible movie.
Well, yeah, but how do you... It looks like it's a lot of, like, crazy, like,
don't
acrobatics.
Terrible.
Even, but, like, how does that equate to being R?
Well,
it's going to have a lot of blood.
It's going to have blood, and it's going to have tits, probably.
I saw, like, a Red Band trailer of it, and it showed, like, the bullet going through a guy's head, and it was, like, crazy bloody, and...
It just looks like the beginning of Fight Club or something. I mean, which is rated R, but, like, still, like, it doesn't seem
The way the trends go, like, there was this thing where even horror movies in the 90s, like, people think about it in the 2000s, but in the late 90s and, like, through the 2000s, like... But even before the J-horror thing, there was the horror trend after The Sixth Sense, where people were like, oh, let's make the others. Let's make horror movies that are PG-13. Like, things
fall those are more like
so
those
much.
Are more like, you know, take your grandma, it's a mystery,
but
ghost
films.
It's a ghost
they really
story.
Are, like, they
supernatural thrillers.
After the Scream movies, there weren't any more rated R horror films for a long time. And then Jeepers Creepers came out. And those,
I can watch any of
those.
I can watch Scream.
Seth and I were trying to figure out... Is his name Jeepers Creepers in it?
His name is the Creeper.
Because we thought that we were watching Into the Wild yesterday, and
right.
He finds the bus.
Yeah.
And Seth's like, is that Jeepers Creepers? Think Jeepers Creepers broke
right.
into that bus? I'm like,
well, no, Jeepers Creepers is the name of the guy from the Mr. Show.
Yeah. But so
Jeepers Creepers.
So the Creeper like totally wailed
yeah.
on that. On
they're
that
making
bus.
A third one. They greenlighted it.
They need to make another
line.
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Because those are really good.
With the hook hand.
Oh,
what about Pumpkinhead? After Ashes to Ashes, I guess that's kind of done.
Right.
And now it's Stan Winston, R.I.P., huh?
R.I.P., buddy.
He's with Brandis.
He's with Brandis now. And Nell Carter.
She was just...
So anyway, another great thing about Total Recall, speaking of
now we're back to this.
Is that, like... We were talking about the CGI thing. Like, there's
in
no
Total
CGI
Recall,
crap.
It's all
it's,
special
it's,
effects.
It's all the Stan Winston. I don't know if it was Stan
models,
Winston, but Stan Winston style
is creature, a little bit of creature
what's,
effects.
What's the
stuff?
Ray guy? Ray...
The Yoda?
There's another guy.
Ray
Stan
Liotta.
Winston, but another
the
guy.
The guy that was
the
way
special
old.
Effects guy.
Yeah, the guy that was the Spielberg guy before Stan Winston.
Ray? I know Douglas Trumbull did most of the models and stuff. He did 2001 and
Douglas Bubble Trousers.
I don't know. I think you're thinking of Ray Harryhausen.
No.
Okay.
Your mom is
that
Ray
is a sweet name.
Harryhausen. Great grades for Total Recall.
Wait, what is
go.
The grading
why me
system?
First?
It's just it's AAF.
AAF.
I'll give it an A plus.
No, seriously. What do you think? Like, as seriously as a movie, the first time you saw Total Recall, what did you think of
I'll
it?
I'll give it an A+.
Really?
Take that.
Wait, when I was 10? I can't rate it when I was 10.
It doesn't matter.
I could rate it at my birthday party when I was, like, 12, or I could rate it when I watched it on my own.
How about
actually, I give it now,
an
yeah.
A++.
Okay.
Because it was the greatest movie I've ever seen.
way to bypass any sort of criticism.
Patronize it, yeah.
Go ahead.
I think I want to give it a B+. Because... It's not 100% perfect. It's got, I mean, like, I don't know, it's kind of hard to not give it, like, a full, like, pass. But there's some things that would be different. I don't know.
What did you dislike about it?
Okay,
like, watching
okay.
this last time,
I think the only thing is that I wanted a little more depth with the bad guys, and that's sort of a new invention too, where they try to add sympathy.
They didn't do that back then.
Yeah, they didn't.
Because
Richard's getting manipulated by Kohagen the whole time, and you can tell he kind of resents it.
Yeah.
And then once his wife has been killed in this whole mess, he gets sort of mad at like Quaid, which makes some sense because Quaid was banging his wife.
Right.
But he doesn't really get mad at Kohagen, and it's like
he does,
but he's got this impotence, he can't do anything about Kohagen,
so he gets on Quaid.
And then Kohagen had this friendship with Hauser, that like you could see in that one scene where it's like, what are we gonna do? Are we gonna go kill him? It's like he's not, and you could see
he's
that,
really
like,
upset
that he's upset he about it. He kicks over the fish. Mm-hmm. And then I mean, we talked about the visual effects, and the special effects are pretty good. But some of it still, when you're looking at like the bar, it's just.
I liked when he kicked over the fish, and then Blaine was like subtle or something like that. And then it shows like it immediately cuts to the segue of the people in the air thing going like,
can't breathe. I just wanted a little more scope and scale in the set design for Mars and stuff. I'm just asking for it to be more than it was, but what it was good.
I thought they went like above and beyond what would be expected for something like that for the scope.
I think when I'm talking about it now, I'm just like saying like how I would redo it if I were redoing it. Things I would change. I try to add a little more. There's the like whatever's going on politically with Kohagen. In terms of having control over the place,
he just wants to make some money, but
he can declare martial law, but he's also like this corporate guy. Like I would have tried to explain a little more about that. I would have dealt into the class structure a little more. Right. Like he goes through, he walks up through the Hilton lobby, and that gives you a sense that there's some like
I think
high class people there, but there's not much else. You know,
was like you were saying earlier was that it is the satire aspect that Verhoeven was putting in there, which is the corporate guy.
That isn't even really satire, it's just like a legitimate narrative, but when you say that
this person who runs this, who is the head of this company on this outpost, is the person who rules the planet, that's a little bit satirical, because it wouldn't happen like that. There's something about the Federation, the Alliance, but he's a company man, and all the police work for him, you know?
Yeah,
you know
and the whole thing about, like, the construction workers, and then something about, like, what do they even say? Like, you broke my cover, and then he's like, they're with the agency or something like that. That's what the people at the recall place say. Yeah. They're like, he's with the agency.
It's Weyland-Yutani.
Yeah, and it doesn't quite make any sense. That whole part was a little, like, it didn't quite gel right, and...
Well, there's obviously some sort of agency that works with, and it might be that like he's a company man that like works for the government, so it's a government thing, because the rebels, it's like the whole Star Wars thing.
Yeah,
but the whole thing
is that like you have to kind of infer all that, and it's not really well implied.
I think,
and that's why I give it a B plus instead of like an A plus.
Yeah, I understand.
And you know,
Ryan, you fell asleep in it. What grade would you give it though? Anyway, you've seen it
as an action movie and all that shit. I'd give it an A.
I agree.
Definitely. Least an A.
I give it a
not
solid
A plus because it's not perfect, you know.
It's tough to say an A plus
for almost nothing.
Yeah, like
there's
A plus.
Only a couple things I've ever given an A plus. I think
any movie where there's a girl with three boobs deserves an A.
Yeah, probably.
Regardless,
I still think they should have showed multiple vaginas, like one of you said.
Seriously,
I said that.
Yeah. Oh, you said that. Way to take ownership of that.
I did say that.
He's got that copywritten.
Good.
Copyright
Ian Stroke 2008.
Multiple vaginas.
Multiple vaginas. Trademark.
In the rated X version of the movie.
I also will give it a solid A. And I think that a solid A is very high praise for something like this. Because you watch something like Running Man, or even something as good as like Predator, and I don't think you can give it that high a grade, because it really ends up being like a cheesy kind of weak thing with like little character. And this one, the character is very strong just by the writing, because no one Arnold Schwarzenegger ever plays is really that interesting a character, but they make it like this because he has such a fervent desire before he becomes the super spy guy to do something like that, because he feels like he's missing something. And that's the interesting thing about the fact that he's either waking up or he's not, you know, one of those two things, is that he's got this absolutely like diehard desire to do this thing, and his life will not be fulfilled until basically the life that happens in his dreams occurs.
Is
you know?
The fruition of
And
that.
They usually don't put that in an Arnold thing. Usually it's like this guy who's there and he's accused of something.
Or he's got a backstory about being like a badass.
Or his daughter's kidnapped or whatever it is, and he just kind of forced into action and he kicks a bunch of ass, you know?
You don't need the girl.
Right.
What do you think is a better Arnold movie? That, True Lies, or Total Recall?
Oh, Total Recall. I think True Lies, the triage of actually good Arnold movies is Terminator 2.
You mean the trifecta?
Terminator 2.
This is your order from...
I put it in this order. I think as an actual good movie, I put Terminator 2 and Total Recall almost even. And I think
I'm not talking about, like, you know, they're great movies. Just what are you
entertaining by? My favorite is Total Recall. And then my second favorite is probably Terminator 2.
Right.
My third favorite is probably True Lies out of all those. But that's very high praise because those three rank very highly in all my movie ratings.
Right.
Like all of them I've ever seen. Those three movies have such a fingerprint on them from their directors, and they're such overpowering directors. James Cameron having done two of them, Terminator 2 and True Lies. Verhoeven. They're those type of movie directors that you watch something they made and you understand 100% that it's their movie. Because everything that looks or happens is completely in tune with other things they've made also. You see a James Cameron movie, you know it's a James Cameron movie. You see a Paul Verhoeven one, you know it too, because it's over the top and the violence and yada, 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 so forth. Like, other action directors, you can kind of interchange a little bit. You know, I think Richard Donner and McTiernan are, like, on that edge of it toward them more than other ones. But you take any other sort of guy and you can kind of switch him in and out. So like the Tony Scott thing, the guys who zip in and out of genres usually, you know, you can say.
I wonder about how Cameron's going to be doing, because like I was just thinking of Titanic and like there's a lot of visual effects in that film, so it starts to sort of lose its. I mean, it was very much a period piece, and then you've got something like Avatar where he's like invented new cameras and shit, and it's almost sounding like it's not. Like, it's going to be some kind of bizarre animation.
I think
his ego has totally
overtaken his...
Well, I wouldn't know.
Well, every movie he's done is, like, huge, right?
Right, I understand
it's
that.
Been,
but I mean,
it's
you
been,
realize
like,
that
15 years since he's
been... Yeah, exactly. Japanese, but I pretend to be Indian.